news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The death toll in the Northeast from the remnants of Hurricane Ida now stands at 46 people dead in six states. Most of them were in New Jersey, where Governor Phil Murphy said a majority of the victims were overtaken by rising floodwaters while in their cars. In New York City, a lot of people who died were found in basements. Meanwhile, communities in Louisiana, where the hurricane made landfall, still have no power and are struggling with a severe fuel shortage. President Biden visiting Louisiana Friday to survey storm damage and meet with state and local officials. I think it's fair to say he will not be throwing out a single roll of paper towels to people in need of help. Responding to the radical, unconstitutional action of the Trump-packed Supreme Court, President Joe Biden says he's launching a federal effort to respond to the new Texas abortion law. The state's abortion providers are turning patients away following the new law that took effect at midnight on September 1st. It bans abortions after 6 weeks or as soon as a fetal heartbeat is heard. The Supreme Court denied a request from abortion providers to freeze the state law, so it remains on the books for now. So this law features a vigilante enforcement structure. It basically deputizes private citizens to bring civil lawsuits against anyone who might assist a pregnant person seeking an abortion. Biden called it a bizarre scheme with the potential to unleash, quote, unconstitutional chaos. So he tasked the Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Justice Department, to see what steps the federal government can take to see how the administration could respond to the decision and protect existing constitutional abortion rights. The landmark Roe v. Wade decision was handed down January 22, 1973, and established the right to abortion until fetal viability at 22 to 24 weeks.
The other major story today, aside from the death of Lyndon Johnson, the tragic death, and the hopes for peace in Vietnam, is the decision of the United States Supreme Court. It handed down a historic decision about abortion. The court said in a 7-2 decision that in the first 3 months of pregnancy, only the woman and her physician may decide whether she may have an abortion. In the second 3 months, all the state may do is regulate abortion procedures. And only in the final 3 months of pregnancy can the state forbid abortion. The court ruled in cases from Texas and Georgia, but all 50 states are effective, whatever their laws. New York State has a liberal law, but that hasn't ended the bitter fight over legal abortions. And Betty Rollin reports on the New York reaction to today's ruling.
New York's liberal abortion law was passed more than 2 years ago, and more than 400,000 abortions have been successfully performed. Nevertheless, opposition has been bitter and continual. The law was actually repealed last year, but Governor Nelson Rockefeller vetoed the repeal. With yet another attempt at repeal underway, today's decision came as a shock to both anti- and pro-abortionist forces.
Well, it means that January 22, 1973 will stand out as one of the great days for freedom and free choice. This allows a woman free choice as whether or not to remain pregnant. This is extraordinary.
For some women, this law will mean the difference between having an abortion or not. For many others, the law will mean simply having the abortion in their own state instead of traveling to another state like New York. This New York clinic, for example, reports that 48% of its patients are from out of the state. The attitude of the Roman Catholic Church in New York was expressed by Terence Cardinal Cook in a statement read by a spokesman.
How many millions of children, prior to their birth, will never live to see the light of day because of the shocking action of the majority of the United States Supreme Court today? Whatever their legal rationale, seven men have made a tragic utilitarian judgment regarding who shall live and who shall die. In spite of this horrifying decision, the American people must rededicate themselves to the protection of the sacredness of all human life.
From the beginning, pro-abortionist forces have seen this issue as a question of freedom of an individual's choice. The freedom to have an abortion is now legal in every state. The basic legal fight is in effect over. But according to the Roman Catholic Church, the moral fight will never end, and the church will continue to instruct women and institutions not to take advantage of this choice. Betty Rollin, NBC News, New York.
Thanks to Rachel Maddow for digging up that bit of history. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said she plans to bring up Congresswoman Judy Chu's Women's Health Protection Act, which is intended to codify Roe v. Wade. She's introduced this bill for the last six terms. It likely has the votes to pass the House, but then comes the Senate, where the filibuster would keep it from passing. Most Democrats want to get rid of the filibuster. The only thing holding it up appears to be Senators Manchin and Sinema. Pelosi railed against the Supreme Court's, quote, cowardly, dark of night decision to allow the Texas abortion ban to take effect. And already, American Taliban elected officials in Republican-controlled states are talking about enacting similar laws. So it's logical to be freaked out by this, but to try to put a positive spin on it, this move by the high court has horrified a majority of Americans, but it could be the final nail in the coffin of the Republican Party. This move is unpopular. Just a few months ago, in polls from Quinnipiac to Fox News, it was across the board. 62% to 69% of American voters said they wanted the court to uphold the Roe v. Wade precedent. One other interesting observation is the silence from both the politicians, including Texas representatives, and the right-wing media, who've all been pushing, allegedly, to overturn Roe v. Wade for decades. But this earth-shattering decision was barely mentioned on Fox since the surprise ruling came down. A new survey from the Centers for Disease Control finds that more than 80% of Americans 16 and older have some level of immunity against the coronavirus, most of it through vaccination. The results also indicated that about twice as many people have been infected with the virus as have officially been counted. More than 39 million Americans have been diagnosed with coronavirus since the pandemic began last year. With the latest COVID-19 surge turning American life on its end, Dr. Anthony Fauci said the rollout of booster doses could begin within weeks, pending FDA authorization. Meanwhile, three major American medical groups issued a statement asking everyone to please stop taking ivermectin. It's a drug often used for deworming livestock. For some reason, these people are taking it in an attempt to prevent symptoms of COVID-19. And then idiots like Joe Rogan got infected because they won't get vaccinated, yet they'll take this horse dewormer? As the pandemic drags on, ivermectin is the latest unlikely and dangerous fixation for those people who won't listen to science and think they know better than the doctors. Just lovely. Now, as the Gulf Coast and Northeast deal with a massive disaster left in the wake of Hurricane Ida, the West wishes it had some of that water. Firefighters battling California's massive Caldor fire are facing the likelihood of even more fires breaking out in the upcoming weeks. There's a severe drought suffocating most of the American West. It's leading to water shortages and creating the ideal environment for wildfires to spark and spread rapidly. In addition to the blazes, firefighters are facing exhaustion and COVID-19 infections, as this extended fire season shows no sign of slowing down. And finally, authorities are already warning about another, quote, rally at the U.S. Capitol. This one, scheduled for September 18th. Far-right extremist groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers are reportedly planning to head back to the U.S. Capitol, this time demanding justice for the hundreds of people charged in connection with the January 6th insurrection. U.S. Capitol Police are discussing whether that perimeter fence will need to be put back up. And in a related story, Jacob Chansley, remember him, the man who came to be known as the QAnon shaman? He heads before a judge on Friday, saying he no longer wants to be called the QAnon shaman and no longer wants to be affiliated with the conspiracy group. He's expected to plead guilty, though the terms of the deal are not yet clear, including to which charges he'll plead guilty, and what, if any, term of incarceration he might serve. Hey, Q-boy, insurrections have consequences. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully supported by listeners, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.